America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host and most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Teresa Sam's Chris Logie. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, so it is May the 7th, 2021. I think this is our first show of the month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, we actually have a bunch of good stuff to talk about this week. Some good things actually happen. Really good things. Things that I'm kind of surprised actually happened. But there was also some other shit that happened, and we still have assholes in the world, so we're going to be talking about them. But the thing about them is that the assholes we'll be talking about this week are less something that are a horrifying threat and more just pitiful in their assholishness. Just how petty, you know? Well, we got some other stories to talk about. We're going to be doing some good COVID news, specifically vaccines related. We got a couple stories on that. We've also got some good news on some bills going through the Senate about combating sexual assault in the military. The certain somebody's Facebook ban is upheld. We got a good entertainment stuff too. And there's like a shit ton of states in the District of Columbia that are getting together, all uniting to mount a legal fight against probably one of the most evil fucking families in American history. And if you aren't familiar with the family, if you're especially down south, you know somebody who has been affected by their legacy. And we'll tell you all about that. All that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off as always. Teresa, what have you been up to this week?
Playing a little bit of new Luigi. And playing some other stuff. Nothing, like, super intense. Just kind of, you know, whenever I have a chance. Wish that I had been playing a little bit more. But this week has been a little bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we haven't really watched anything to know. Oh, wait, we did watch, Your Highness. Which is, it's been trending for a while. Because I guess everybody pans the movie. I thought it was amusing. It's from like 2001. Mm. That and Bob's Burgers is the only thing we've gotten around to watching. Because Monday, Scott's working from home. I'm working from home, right?
Mm-hmm.
He logs on, and by the time the 10 o'clock meeting happens, he's like, where's so-and-so? Has anybody talked to him? No, he's not online. Long story short, he was the one who made all the calls and whatnot, and he got the call from the police officer. We're very sorry to inform you, we found him deceased.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. And there's no family to find. They started talking amongst themselves, trying to find anything. The police officer is like asking Scott to physically identify his coworker, right? And asking, questioning him, really. You know, when's the last time he took a sick day? Does he have any health problems? Does he have any mental health problems? Just kind of all over the board. So, yeah, that didn't go well. And still, with the trying to find, any kind of family, guy was like 51 or 52. He's not old. This is the third person in their early 50s that we've lost in the past few months.
Oh, wow.
I know. So we feel like we should take all of our older friends and wrap them up in bubble wrap and put them away for a while. And the one person that he did put, they finally found his application where he applied for the job. They dug it out of the digital files. And that person died in October.
Oh.
I know. It's like you just can't get away from probably COVID death, you know, destruction. We don't know. So there's no knowing. So it's been real fun dealing with that. And we went upstairs to our neighbor's house, Cinco de Mayo, and all three of us got fairly well smashed. So at least there was that. But otherwise, there just hasn't there hasn't been time to think about or do anything else. So been a busy week, been not the best week for us personally, but you know, we'll see what we could do next week. So I know it's kind of a downer, but Chris, have you been doing anything? Please say better than this.
I don't know. The weather has been pretty okay, I guess. But it's kind of constant. Like every other day is raining. And staying in like the 50s to 60s range, which is just eh. As is like a weird, like second tier winter kind of hangover continues on here.
Here too. Our 5-tiered vegetable planter is now covered in a tarp because it's supposed to frost tonight. So look forward to that, Chris. That's coming your way.
Well, that's fine. But yeah, not been doing too much as far as watching things. I think the most new thing I've watched is the weird Star Wars Simpsons thing, Maggie special thing. It's like a little short. It's like 3 or 4 minutes of Marge taking Maggie to like a daycare. And it happens to be Star Wars themed. To the point of, let's see, they had like a Cloud City nap room. It's all these kids in like little floating like beds kind of thing. The evil baby that Maggie has a grudge with
Oh,
is,
unibrow boy.
yeah, that he is in a Darth Maul outfit. And she takes her pacifier, stretches it out like a sword.
Oh, good Lord.
To fight his double-edged lightsaber thing. So yeah, lots of weird stuff. And then by the end, she has Yoda ears, I guess. Oh yeah, and they have BB-8s in the daycare. She puts her little bow on one of them. So yeah, lots of weird stuff in that thing. Lots of references if you're looking for that. But that's been it for the watching stuff. As for the playing. I finished Ratchet and Clank Future Tools of Destruction on stream, which went pretty well. The final fight was a bit tough, but it was more about figuring out the order of the weapons I needed to use. Because I used my more powerful stuff, and when it got to like the last like third or quarter of health, I just had them on my weak stuff. That's like the things you get in the early in the game. That just wasn't doing enough damage, so I ended up finding better ways to use that stuff to make it much easier. Which went pretty well. So yeah, I ended up starting Quest for Booty yesterday. I was thinking about trying to go through for the whole game for the stream, but I ended up just cutting it in about 2 hours in, just about halfway. But yeah, that game is pretty neat for the because you don't have Clank, so there's no like extra platforming abilities for that, which is a bit jarring because I still hit them normally, expecting them to be there, so that's a little weird. But yeah, I also came to the realization that that game is basically Ratchet and Clank's Uncharted because you're doing lots of platforming, puzzle solving. You got a partner with you that's coming around with you, Talwin Apogee. She is you're fighting lots of pirates, undead pirates too. There's a whole scene where you go through a pirate ship, that kind of stuff. So there's like a lot of little bits like, oh, this seems very Uncharted-y. Which is not surprising because it's very based on the pirates, the robot pirates in the previous game.
Mm-hmm.
Some good story stuff there too, as Rusty Pete shows up with his with Slag's head on him, trying to imitate him to scare off other robot pirates. Some weird stuff. Then he just figures out how to turn his head on and puts him on a stick that carries him around like a staff kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decide to try and put him on his former captain's body, and realizes his soul's still in the body, so he kind of gets taken over constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kinds of weird stuff to it, but it's pretty fun for the little game it is. Like, all the weapons start at level 3 instead of 1,
because mm-hmm.
it's a shorter game, so they want you to get to level 5 pretty quick. But some of the weapons that you get early on, it was like 5 kills and it was level 4.
Mm.
That kind of stuff. So I think it's not necessarily about the leveling that you need to do to, you know, max out everything, because you'll probably get max out all that stuff at a certain point anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's been fun. Also been playing some more Genshin Impact on the PS5.
Oh.
Which is still a lot of fun. I finally got to another area, because I forget what it's called. Because the different areas have different elements to them. When you go to like the big like worshiping statue, which is where you kind of use your collectibles to upgrade your stamina, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when I realized that was a thing. So I was like, oh, I collected a bunch of these. I'll probably find the one in this area and I'll just upgrade there. It's like, no, there's a whole new set for this one area. It's like, oh, okay. I had to warp back to the other area to do my upgrade. That kind of stuff. Got through the whole weird competitive cooking segment mission in there with the one cooking girl. I forget what her name is. Xilang or something like that.
I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Because you do a couple quests for her up front. She's like, oh, I'll show you how to make some cool meals. Like, takes you around to get some stuff. And you go back to her town. And she's like, oh, we'll go have this Iron Chef style cooking competition. It also culminates because you find along the way this dude that lived about 300 years ago, who had been frozen by these plants. Because you've seen like the frozen plants,
mm-hmm.
that you have to shoot with fire to
be able to pick them.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you go into this dungeon, and you find this boar that's been frozen in there. That is actually like an ancient species that has gone extinct.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to realize that this guy who's like, well, this is my town, where all my friends and family, and you're like, oh shit, this guy's also been frozen for 300 years. And supposedly meets his like descendant, because they're basically the same kind of character model. But
yeah,
you know, this cooking, this whole cooking competition, and she cooks up the boar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you're just going to turn it into food instead of trying to maybe rehabilitate it to bring it back or something. No, she's mm-hmm. like, oh, make a food out of it. And she's like, oh, I can kind of make it any time, because just use regular boar meat and just use special spices or whatever to make it taste like that. I don't know. Seemed like a lot for what she could do, but who knows? I did in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And also played some Wreckfest that's on the PS5. It's new on PlayStation Plus this month.
Yeah, isn't that kind of like the isn't that like basically like a version of what do they call it, like Breakout, or it's a racing game where the whole point is to crash.
Kind of. It's like if you took Destruction Derby and made it in modern day.
Ah, there we go. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, like a demolition derby type of thing. Cause like the first event you do, you know, you're on mowers, in like a demolition derby. So obviously, if you know the trick to demolition derbies, you drive backwards. So you're not bashing your engine into other cars. Well, that one I ended up winning pretty easily because it's pretty set up for you to win pretty easily. But I've done some others, did pretty well there. So that was pretty neat. But yeah, it loads faster. I wouldn't say it loads fast compared to other games I've played, even like Genshin Impact. It's like an open world game. This loads a little bit slower than that than I would like, but it does fine for what it is. It's not as bad as it was at launch on the PS4 and Xbox One. So that's definitely a big improvement. It also makes some good use of the haptic feedback stuff. The trigger stuff doesn't really seem like it's doing too much, but it kind of does a good job, like rumbling when you're going up in gears, that kind of stuff. When you hit other cars, you get crash noises and such out of the speakers, that kind of stuff. The controller speaker. So there's like a lot of neat stuff there. So it seems like a pretty good upgrade. Looks nice, runs well. So, good upgrade. So that's been pretty much it. Brandon, how about you?
All right. Well, as for me, I played and finished Nier Replicant. basically, yeah, you have to pretty much play that game. Obviously, much like Nier Automata, you have to play the game a number of times in order to, get the full story. In this case, though, it has a unique little... at least for this version of the game, it has a unique little twist to it. You see, much like with Nier Automata, when you get to the quote-unquote true ending of that game, you have to essentially give up your save file and all the stuff you've done up to that point in order to get that specific ending, which is true. And once you do that and you try to play the game again, starting fresh, you cannot use the name that you gave the previous character, the previous player character that you would use. The game will not let you. But here's what's unique. For the new ending, the new part of the game that they actually added to this version of the game, Ending E, what happens is, you play the game essentially like you would for the first couple of hours, like you would in the original, up until a certain point, in which case you then start playing Kaine. Because it's complicated, and I really don't want to give a lot away, because much as was the case with Nier Automata, there's, part of the sell of this game is how unpredictable it is. Let's just say, though, the ending E and all that basically ties the game in more directly to Nier Automata, and actually uses a lot of the imagery from Nier Automata specifically to sort of tie them all together. So I'm done that. I'm going to probably start writing my review probably tomorrow. It's a great game. It's not perfect. It still has some of the issues that the original had, but it's definitely a marked improvement from the original. So, with that out of the way, I decided to take advantage of my PS Now subscription, and I decided to go on PSN and get both Streets of Rage 4 and Injustice 2. And I can totally understand now why this game turned out to be so many people's game of the year on Smashpad. Because, Streets of Rage 4 is a hell of a lot of fun. The art style is great. The character design is fantastic. I love how they've managed to make the game in some ways still very much reminiscent of the original, but also updating it so that it still feels very modern at the same time. It's damn good. There really is. There's no other way to say it. It's a great game. Highly recommend it. Especially if you have PSN. Also, Injustice 2, which is a game I have not played in a hot minute. The version that you get on PSN now is basically the Legendary Edition. So it's literally the game with all the DLC that came out with it in one package. That includes all the extra characters, the extra costumes and stuff, all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into that again. Well, I don't have this written down, but I might as well bring it up. Also having a bit of a dilemma here because games-wise, because May is the part is an era where we're actually getting probably two of my most anticipated games of this year coming out within the same like couple of weeks of each other. Mass Effect Legendary Edition comes out on, I think it's the 14th or the 15th, or it might be the 13th, within that sort of span of days. And that is, you know, all of the original Mass Effect trilogy in one place, you know, with the graphics updated and all that stuff. But exactly 10 days later, after that comes out, is Biomutant, which is a game I've been excited for, God, pretty much since they announced it 5 years ago. And now I gotta figure out, I was like, okay, how am I gonna do this? Am I gonna just, you know, can I get Mass Effect and, you know, hope that I have the money left for when Biomutant comes out, or am I gonna wait and get Biomutant and then get Mass Effect Legendary Edition later? So, first world problems, am I right?
Yeah.
But other than that, mostly just dealing with the after vaccine blues. We were talking about this, me and Teresa, before we started recording. I got my second shot Tuesday morning. And for that day and the following day, I actually felt fine. I didn't feel any kind of side effects. Like, the worst I had was, you know, that sore bicep, which, let's be honest, unless you're doing any kind of like heavy lifting or anything, you can pretty much ignore that. You know, until you like accidentally tense up or something and suddenly it reminds you that it's there. But then on Thursday, I woke up and I was like, God, I feel like I need to sleep like another 12 hours. Because it was like all the energy in my body had been completely sapped out of me. And, you know, it wasn't like I was running a fever or that I was, you know, feeling nauseous or anything. Weirdly enough, just the opposite. I was fucking incredibly hungry. Yeah, it's like my metabolism got all fucking wonky. But yeah, I woke up and it was just like I felt incredibly slow and sluggish. And, you know, it's like I just don't want to, you know, at least for yesterday, it was kind of hard to focus on anything, you know, because it just felt like, fuck, if I focus on something for too long, it's just going to be too much energy. And, you know, it's not as bad as it was yesterday, but I'm still feeling pretty blah for the day. And yeah, it's mostly just dealing with that shit. I will say, though, it is definitely a small price to pay. Because, yeah, now I am officially vaccinated against COVID, and that is a degree of freedom I did not know I could experience. Considering that the whole, like, thing really kind of kick-started in March of last year. Now that, you know, we've actually got a vaccine that I could go and get, and, you know, I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, at least not for another year. And it's like, yeah, that's an amazing fucking feeling.
Yeah.
And, and also, you know, Teresa was also telling me earlier, you know, apparently some parents in her school circle were, you know, who had been really good at, you know, at the mass thing are apparently not getting the vaccine.
There's just so many people I have heard of this week that aren't going to do it. And I'm like, the hell is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? Just, oh my God.
Yeah.
Stop. This is what everyone's been waiting for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be like this.
I mean, okay, just let me put it this way. My grandmother is one of those handful of people that cannot actually take the vaccine because the, can you hear that?
I do, but so it's distant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just let him get over that. But yeah. Yeah. Basically what happened was, you know, my grandma is like, she's one of those people who the effects of the vaccine would end up outweighing the benefits.
Okay.
And I mean, she's already in poor health. She really does not need that on her docket right now. But she was also the one who encouraged me to get the vaccine in the first place. So, like, what's their fucking excuse?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Some people are fucking babies.
I'm really kind of blown away by it. I shouldn't be. But I just keep expecting more out of people than I should.
Mm. Well, we do have a bunch of good news on the vaccine front when we get to that part of the show. So, you know, don't be too dour just yet. We have some good news, fortunately. But yeah, do we have anything else we want to add before we move on?
No.
All right, well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And let me ask you guys a quick question. Have any of you guys ever played Hanafuda before?
Have not.
Hanafuda, have you seen Hanafuda cards, though?
I don't think I have, no.
Okay, are you sure? Wow. Really?
Mm.
Okay, well, okay, so I actually have a set of Hanafuda, and I'll tell you why, because it's going to relate to what... So Hanafuda cards are a traditional kind of Japanese playing card. They've been around in one form or another since... God, I don't fucking know. Like, let's see. They've been around in one form or another. Yeah, I know. Hold on. Y'all can hear that, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, I want some attention, damn it. Yeah. But yeah, see, playing cards were introduced to the Japanese back in the 16th century from the Portuguese, and the Japanese took that idea, and they kind of ran with it, and they created their own kind of playing cards, and that's the Hanafuda. Much as you can do with, Western style playing cards, you can play a number of different games with Hanafuda, including games like Koi Koi, which is probably the most common, wherein, you know, you try to build a suit of cards, you know, from like and like. And you can then, at the end of the game, if you want, you can declare Koi Koi. And if you do that and get the next set right, you can get double the points, or you can basically just fucking lose everything. It's like a double thing. But yeah, they've been around for a long time. And they are like one of the quintessential parts of like post-Western, post-Western contact Japanese culture. And there's been a lot of companies that have been involved in the creation of Hanafuda, including one certain company we all know very, very well, who actually got their start making Hanafuda cards and are the reason I have a Hanafuda set to begin with. Can you guess which company that is?
What?
Chris, any idea?
Nintendo.
It's Nintendo. Nintendo first got their start making Hanafuda cards all the way back in the 1880s. And of course, now when everybody thinks of Nintendo, they think video games. But Nintendo is a company that's been around for a long ass time. And video games was just the one thing that they finally landed on and made bank. Because we're the first to, I want to say, close to 100 years of their existence, they were kind of, you know, bouncing around from different ideas here and there. So I mentioned Hanafuda, but we're going to also talk a little bit about some of the other things that they did. So one of the first big things they did after Hanafuda, well, I mean, I said they made Hanafuda cards. They also made like other types of cards and like gambling pieces as well, too. Which, in hindsight, means they almost certainly were somehow involved with the Yakuza at some point. But that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, for most of their history, they focused on cards and gambling. But right around the 1960s, 1970s, you know, the U.S. started, you know, well, not the U.S., the Japanese government started kind of reforming some of their old gambling laws. And for those of you who don't know, gambling in Japan is technically illegal.
Really?
Yeah. But as is the case with pretty much everything else, the Japanese police have kind of a history of looking the other way on certain things. And because of that, you know, there are certain gambling houses that basically rely heavily on technicalities. So, like, obviously, if you and some other friends are just playing, say, like, Mahjong or something, and you're gambling, it's not a problem. Now, actual, like, casinos and stuff, that's an issue. However, there are a bunch of places that have gotten around this. For example, pachinko parlors.
Okay, yeah.
At a pachinko parlor, you know how most pachinko parlors, they're kind of have, like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese type prizes that you can get?
Yep.
Usually there's a place usually just around the corner where you can then take those prizes and then give the prizes in exchange for cash.
Yeah.
But anyway, because of stuff like that, it basically meant that Nintendo had to start finding new ways to make money. And one of the ways they found out was toys and novelties. In particular, there was a guy who worked in their factory who was an engineer. Well, he had an engineering degree, but, you know, because it was, you know, the economy was kind of not doing so great at the time, he was working at a factory. And he was doing, you know, weird engineering inventions and stuff in his spare time when he, you know, had the time to do it. His name was Gunpei Yokoi. Now, if that name sounds familiar, well, you'll find out. You see, at the time, he had come up with a little thing he had had where he had come up with something that the company would eventually call the Ultra Hand. It was one of those extendable arm things that had like a, like one of those, it was like an extendable arm thing that had like one of those accordion type, you know, plastic connected tongs that, you know, you would widen the handles and it would, you know, shrink back. Then you pull it in there and there would be like these little suction cups at the end of it. And the guy who was president of Nintendo at the time found Gunpei Yokoi and his coworkers, you know, kind of playing around with this thing during their spare time. And he thought, hey, this is not a bad idea. We can maybe market this. And it did. And it ended up selling over 1 million units. And it's actually still a thing that you can find in like video, you know, Nintendo games today. It shows up a lot in like WarioWare. It's in Mario Kart. It's in Majora's Mask. You know, stuff like that. So Yokoi ended up kind of kickstarting this whole thing toys and games that Nintendo would start making. And one of the other things he would make is a baseball throwing machine called the Ultra Machine, which is not quite like one of those things you see at the batting range where it's like a thing that just hawks them at you. No, it's like one of those things that has like the wire chute on the top of it and it just kind of shoots them at you. Yeah, he created that. You'll find that again in WarioWare, in Mario Party. It's in Animal Crossing New Leaf. It's in Splatoon 2. It's actually one of the weapons you can get called the Bomb Rush. And it looks exactly like it. Then he created something called the 10 billion barrel puzzle. also known as the Nintendo Tumblr puzzle. Basically, it's kind of a mathematical puzzle that's kind of in the style of a Rubik's Cube. Basically, this is how Wikipedia describes it. The puzzle consists of a cylinder of transparent plastic divides into six levels together with a black plastic frame. The frame consists of upper and lower discs that are joined together through the middle of the cylinder. The top and bottom levels of the cylinder form a single piece, but between them are two rotatable pieces, each two levels high. Each of the four central levels is divided into five chambers, each containing a colored ball. The top and the bottom levels have only three chambers, containing either three balls or three parts of the frame, depending on the relative position of frame and cylinder. The balls in three of the five resulting columns of chambers can be moved up or down one level by raising or lowering the frame relative to the transparent cylinder. The object is to sort the balls so that each of the five columns contain balls of a single color, much like a Rubik's Cube. Now, if any of that I just mentioned sounds vaguely familiar, then you probably played Metroid Prime on the GameCube, because this is actually one of the puzzles that you end up coming in contact with early in the game. It also shows up in Animal Crossing New Leaf, it's in Majora's Mask 3D, and it's in WarioWare Gold. Let's see, what else did he create? He created a love tester, which is basically like a... I'll be completely honest. You guys know what an E-meter is, right? It's that fucking thing the Scientologists use.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's supposed to show whether or not you were compatible as lovers.
Oh, my.
Because, again, Japan. And, oh, yeah, one of the other things he created that ended up being kind of his first entrance into video games. You guys are familiar with Duck Hunt, right? Yeah, he actually created the first version of Duck Hunt. Well, co-created, because he had help with it. Here's the thing, though. His version of Duck Hunt was not like how we see it here on Nintendo, whereas, you know, we had the Nintendo Zapper, you know, and there was, you know, you had the little digitized ducks flying around. No. They used something called the Beam Gun, and what they did is, instead of, like, digitized graphics, they would use, like, actual projector footage of, like, ducks in the wild.
What?
Yeah. And there was, like, a sensor in the machine where, you know, depending on wherever particular area the duck or ducks were in, if you managed to get the, you know, the beam gun to fire in that direction, you got a hit. This was in the 70s, by the way. Late 70s. You know, keep in mind, right around this time is when, like, Space Invaders started showing up. And, of course, as we all know, that eventually became the Duck Hunt that we all know and love on, you know, the old Nintendo. Specifically, that combo, you know, cartridge we got of Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt that I definitely got when I was a kid.
Yes.
But probably the one thing that finally got him over into video games as we now know them was a event that happened when he was traveling to Shinkansen in right around 1978, 1979. He was on a train, and he was heading to Shinkansen, and he noticed that one of the salarymen that were nearby him was passing the time by basically just mindlessly pressing the buttons on his LCD calculator. And he had an idea, and he thought, you know what, I bet if you could use an LCD screen, you could make a machine where you could both use it as a calculator and also have something that could work as like a set game inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if any of this sounds familiar, this is where Game & Watch comes from. Nice. He's the guy who invented Game & Watch. Now, obviously, he wasn't the first person to come up with, like, an electronic handheld game. I mean, they had that shit in the mid-70s.
They did.
You know. But he was the first one who came up with the idea of using an LCD screen to create, like, more detailed graphics than just, you know, a light, you know, on a board. And, you know, basically Tiger Electronics ran away with the shit and made, like, a whole line of games.
That they did.
But what really finally got him in the video games, as we know of, is he was the guy who was the supervisor for Donkey Kong. And in fact, because Shigeru Miyamoto, when he got involved, you know, this was his first game that he was working on. Miyamoto knew nothing about computers or programming. like whatsoever. He was, he was like an artist by trade, an illustrator, a sign painter. And he's the guy who basically taught Miyamoto the basics of like computers and programming. And because of that, he then went on and he helped Miyamoto with the beginning of with the original Mario Brothers. He also produced Kid Icarus and Metroid. Probably his lasting biggest influence of all is that he was the guy who designed the Game Boy.
Ooh.
He also designed Rob.
Oh, no.
And the Virtual Boy.
Well, didn't go out on a high note, did he?
No, unfortunately, because shortly after that, he ended up getting hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But that's basically what Nintendo was doing, like, up until then. And that's not, that's just, like, the direct merchandise stuff. They did other stuff, too. They had a line of a, basically, Lego clone that was building blocks. And which was, like, one of their other sort of entrants into the toy market. They also had a line of, quote-unquote, love hotels.
Oh.
And pink salons as well. You know what a pink salon is?
It's a place, guess.
It's a place where a man goes to have some work done on his nails and then get a blowjob.
Okay.
So, yeah, they did that as well. They also started, they opened up bowling alleys, pachinko parlors, a taxi service, instant rice. Yeah, it's amazing how, just how many, different areas they went into business in before they finally landed on video games. And because of that, you can still find traces of all this stuff in their games. I mentioned all that stuff with Gunpei Yokoi and all his inventions showing up in these games later on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, other stuff will show up, too. It's amazing. It's weird because, unlike, say, like, some of the other major gaming places that came into existence over here in the U.S., like Atari, or Sierra or one of those places. Those places specifically came into existence for computer software and game software in particular.
Yeah.
Nintendo, on the other hand, basically flitted around doing a bunch of other stuff before they finally landed on video games. And I gotta admit, there is something incredibly amazing about that.
There kinda is.
And for the record, all that stuff I just mentioned, like, the Hanafuda cards, the Ultra Hand, the Billion Barrel Puzzle, all that stuff Nintendo still makes. I mean, they may slap Mario and Donkey Kong all over them, but you can still get them. In fact, the Hanafuda set that I've got was specifically made to tie in with Mario. I got it off of Amazon for like $40. And yeah, the Billion Barrel Puzzle, they'll put like Donkey Kong or something on there. But yeah, they still make it. And they still make the Ultra Hand too. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, if you're wondering, I forgot to mention, I also have a Billion Barrel Puzzle as well. I got that at the Epcot Center in Disney World at the Japanese Pavilion.
Oh, my gosh.
At the gift shop. I mean, granted, I had to pay out the ass for it because, it was Disney World, but...
Yeah, well,
Hey, I got that shit. All right. Now, with that out of the way, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And our assholes of the week are nothing but a bunch of pitiful little fucking Republicans who are stamping their feet because they can't realize that they can't win on ideas, and now they are devouring each other. And we'll start off with probably the one that made the most news, which is that basically the Republicans have turned on Liz Cheney.
They have.
Because apparently a Cheney is not right wing for enough for them anymore.
Nope.
Because she's the one who said, no, Trump did not win the election. The election was not stolen. Biden won legitimately. And because of that, the Arizona GOP is trying to, has been trying to unseat her.
Well, the GOP in general.
Yeah, but largely Arizona, which is where
she's not from. She's Wyoming.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
It really is.
Yeah, because you've had Steve Scalise calling for her to be removed from her seat. A number of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to war against her over her just saying reasonable things.
I don't like what you said, so I'm going to get you fired.
Yeah, that's what a lot of state GOPs have been doing. Mm-hmm. Of anybody that isn't a Trump sycophant is censoring them and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Arizona, one of the more well-known ones, because they censured the wife of one of their most beloved politicians. Even their own fucking governor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're a party of reasonable people at this point. She said here, while embracing or ignoring Trump's statements might seem attractive to some for fundraising and political purposes, that approach will do profound long-term damage to our party and our country. Mm-hmm. Trump has never expressed remorse or regret for the attack of January 6th and now suggests that our elections and our legal and constitutional system cannot be trusted to do the will of the people. Yeah, even the messages that he does put out to people in the GOP are very much still using the same language that helped cause the insurrection attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not learned a single thing from that.
Nope.
Never.
And on top of all this, well, for those of you who don't know, there's a recall attempt happening for Governor Gavin Newsom. And I know one of the things you say is like, yeah, well, what else is new? Hasn't that happened for like their last several governors? But one of the people who's leading the recall is Caitlyn Jenner. And she went for her first like post-announcement interview on Fox News with Sean, I think it was Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking train wreck. Like, even by Fox standards.
Yeah, even the first, it was like a thread of clips from the interview from Aaron Rupar, who, you know, got like this first part is her saying, "My friends are leaving California. My hangar, the guy right across, he was packing up his hangar, and I said, 'Where are you going?' And he says, 'I'm moving to Sedona, Arizona. I can't take it anymore. I can't walk down the streets and see the homeless.'"
Mm.
And people obviously pointed out Sedona, Arizona is a blue county.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole area is blue. Just shows you how out of touch she is, that she is in a community of people that own planes and hangars for them.
Yeah.
That they're leaving because they see homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. She's pro legal immigration. So very Trumpish. So there's that. She's also confused why high speed rail is needed between LA and San Francisco, since people can just fly, which is like cheaper. I'm trying to see what else is in this thread.
You see what I mean by, even by Fox standards, this was a train wreck.
Yeah, she is opposed to transgender girls playing sports against other girls. But then in the next breath says she wants to be a role model for transgender girls. And people then found out, did some digging, and she's competed in women's golfing tournaments.
Yep.
And teed off from the women's tees.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's right.
There's a bit about forest management, you know, the Trump thing. It's like, oh, you just need to clean the forest. It's like, it's not how that fucking works. She takes credit for Gavin Newsom loosening COVID restrictions. What else? Let's see. Yeah, he describes her explanation of why she thinks Trump did a better job than Biden is doing is completely vapid and devoid of substance. And yeah, it kind of just wraps up the interview in a very kind of, we need to end this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a ridiculous interview. Doesn't even, she is hated by her party for what she is as a transgender mm-hmm. woman. So I don't know that there's any way she's going to actually make a dent in Newsom's numbers in this, despite pushing a lot of Trumpisms out there. She was a big Trump supporter, then tried to walk it back, but then is still using a lot of the lingo here. It's like, you don't get to have it both ways.
No.
The GOP is currently waging war against transgender kids all across the country, especially transgender girls.
One card that they have left. And literally, that culture war bullshit is the only thing they've got left.
Yeah, and nobody can provide any sort of examples of why you need these rules. One example that this has happened, and it's like, nobody can. Because they don't exist.
Nope.
Yeah. It's just, and then finally, in just the another example of just, Mitch McConnell said he's 100% focused on stopping the Biden administration, while the press secretary, Jen Psaki, says they're focused on helping the American people. Basically, it's the same shit he said when Obama became president.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was very much not having it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said, let's see. Yeah. They quoted Mitch McConnell in 2010 saying the single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president. You know, they failed on that part. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Jen Psaki here saying the contrast for people to consider is 100% of our focus is on delivering relief to the American people and getting the pandemic under control and putting people back to work.
Mm.
So far, they're doing pretty well with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's they're putting all their effort into being obstructionists, then whining about why Biden won't, be bipartisan.
Because you're being assholes.
Why don't you work with us? It's like, motherfucker, we tried to be bipartisan, and you spat back in our faces.
Yeah.
And not just the first time, several times. And now you're expecting us to play nice? Yeah, no, fuck you. You made your bed, now you're going to have to fucking lie in it. Yep. So either you start trying to make it so that people will actually pay attention to you and win on your ideas, or go the way of the Whig Party. Which, considering the way things are looking now, is probably what's going to end up happening.
I think you're correct there. The Republicans who have been done with their bullshit for a while now are going to need to break off.
Yeah. Again, that culture war bullshit, it can only help you for so long. At some point you have to ask, like, okay, what's your end game here? Because you would like to think that they're not so short-sighted that they think this is something they can run on forever. But then again, look who they ended up nominating.
Exactly.
So, anyway. Fortunately, we do have a hero of the week. Well, heroes of the week, because obviously he couldn't have just done it by himself. But President Biden and the Biden administration are supporting waiving international patent protections for the COVID-19 vaccine. And this is big fucking news for a lot of people.
Yeah. Can make it easier for these things to be distributed around the world, as well as for the smaller countries to be able to manufacture their own versions.
Mm-hmm.
Make it easier for the rest of the world to get some relief in this. Unfortunately, is not like a universal thing for a lot of the first world countries. Cause I think Germany is very much against this.
Yeah, it's because Germany is the center of the EU.
Yeah,
and EU is not always the Yeah, they aren't always the most benevolent organization.
You would think Germany would like an opportunity to provide something great for the world.
You would think so. Yeah, well, for one thing, you also have to remember that apparently, what's her name, is no longer prime minister. She lost her election. So, yeah, they got some new leadership coming in, and, well, we'll see. We'll see where that comes from. But anyway, yeah. But, yeah, so basically this means that, you know, people are going to be allowed to make generic versions of the COVID vaccine in the places they need it most, like India, and a bunch of other places in the world. And, yeah, it'll go a long way to help. You got to understand, one of the biggest fucking issues with COVID has been the simple fact that Big Pharma really is been so fucking stingy on the patents for these things. You know, had they released, you know, the formula and everything at the very beginning, the fucking vaccine would probably be like a good at least over a half of the world's population would have been vaccinated by now.
Yeah, and there was the whole thing is like they were able to make these vaccines so quickly as they were able to exchange information between the different companies and countries more freely than they've had to in the past.
Yeah.
Be able to actually work together and learn things from each other more quickly than they could ever do in the past, which is, should say a lot for why everybody should be working together.
Yeah.
Especially for these countries where, you know, a lot of our manufacturing happens for many of these countries. It's like maybe throw them a fucking bone.
Yeah. Well, another good vaccine news. Biden is setting a new goal to have and we're starting the show proper now. The proper show proper now. And going on into more vaccination news, Biden has set a new goal to have at least 70% of adults be vaccinated by July 4th.
Yeah.
Be given at least one vaccine dose by then.
It's the big issue we have is there's kind of a stalling in getting more people vaccinated because we're hitting the people that are like unsure, or maybe their work isn't necessarily providing the support for them to be able to go get it.
Though
there are a lot of places that I've seen now are just, let's say, come in, let us know you want one, and we'll get it for you. No waiting or appointments needed.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, it's a lot of it, I think, has been Republicans have been the bigger holdout.
Yeah, the number is fairly large of Republicans who have said they do not want to get the vaccine.
Or they don't want to get it yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 20%, I think, with like Democrats being like 3 or 4%, and I think the independents being like 13%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next big hurdle, is trying to find ways to convince these people to get their vaccine shots.
Mm-hmm.
The various states are working on various plans, you know, having events for people that are vaccinated, you know, concerts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Various teams are working with their local and state governments to offer free or much cheaper tickets for people that are vaccinated, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do everything they can to convince people that they should do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe even have to get to the point of maybe offering like tax credit of some kind if you're vaccinated.
I wish we didn't have to do that, but you know, some people are just so fucking goddamn, you know, petty about shit and have such huge egos.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck else are we going to do? Anyway. Also, we got some news from Pfizer. Pfizer says the FDA will soon authorize their vaccine for the 12-15 age group, which is also good.
Yeah. Starting to get the kids vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep. We are already tentatively set with our appointment for our 12 to 15 year old.
Yep.
Not wasting any damn time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just hope that they actually have the doses for when we're supposed to be there. And they said that, you know, if we have to move the scheduling around, that they would.
Yeah.
So the schools and the local park districts, they are on this crap.
Mm-hmm.
They are ready to get everybody all set.
Yep.
That's much easier to do since a lot of getting kids signed up for schools is their vaccination records and all that.
Yep.
So it'd be
easier
to get parents to get that stuff done unless they're anti-vaxxers.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, yeah, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
But hey, if this vaccine were to inject us with 5G, then we all have fucking amazing cell signals at all times.
Oh my god, right? How is that a downside? It's not a bug, it's a feature.
Yeah.
But no, I still find those pockets of shitty cell.
It's not just pockets. It seems like it's almost half and half now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It doesn't help. We've already got among the worst reception in the industrialized world anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't help. We have huge fucking empty spaces of land here.
Yeah. Anyway, we got some more good news from the Biden administration. They are raising the refugee cap to 62,500 people for this fiscal year. And by the next fiscal year, they're going to up it to 125,000.
Yeah, this is up from the 15,000 limit that the Trump admin had.
Yep.
But they make sure to mention that they're probably not going to hit this cap for this year, which ends in October.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're sort of starting this so late. So it's not likely that they'll get anywhere close to that. But for the future, it's good news.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just one more thing where he's, you know, taking the time to, you know, piss on Trump's legacy and we all get to love it, you know. But next up, more good news. The Senate bill to combat sexual assault in the military seems to have the votes to pass.
Yeah, this is spearheaded by New York Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa GOP Senator Joni Ernst.
Mm-hmm.
Gillibrand has had this kicking around for about 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Just not able to kind of find any way to get it to the floor. Mm-hmm. But then Joni Ernst was voted in and she kind of started working with her. She's a former military veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And a sexual assault survivor, so she very much is interested in this kind of bill.
Mm-hmm.
Which this bill would, for the first time, move cases out of the chain of command to trained military prosecutors
mm-hmm.
for any such accusations that are made.
Yep.
Such cases would still remain under military oversight, but would be handled by criminal justice attorneys with relevant expertise rather than commanders who often lack legal training.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes a lot of sense why that's needed. And you wonder somehow how this didn't, well, that wasn't a thing before.
Yeah.
But that's also probably because it was all men handling this before.
Mm-hmm.
Having women in the forces was not a thing until fairly recently in the grand scheme of the military, but yeah, they're aiming to get 60 votes, and it seems like that's something they should be able to get. No idea when this is going to be actually hitting the floor for a vote, but wouldn't be too surprising for it to be sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Next couple of months here.
Yeah, and see who's going to end up voting against that, because, that's just the best thing to attach your name to. Yeah, I'm the person who voted against the bill that was to combat sexual assault in the military.
Yeah.
Next up, in more good news, Facebook, their oversight board has upheld their ban on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he also kind of found a loophole in there where he created his own quote-unquote blog. So now he can use that and attach it to a Twitter account.
But it's awful.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's clearly not writing it either.
I haven't seen GOP people posting like screenshots of his little messages and shit, the most ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
To the point I've been seeing some stuff making fun of them. This one here is supposedly released today at 6:31 in the morning on November 4th. An army of owls brought 149,772 votes to Michigan, which isn't even a state. Where did these votes come from? Clearly Harry Potter, or as he's known, Harry Potter, H-A-I-R-Y. Magic is not allowed under the U.S. Constitution because Russia, 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 who is Jan's big sister? So sad. So he has some parody stuff there.
Yeah, that was fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so far he still cannot have a proper Facebook account. So good.
Yeah, the problem is the GOP essentially is his surrogate.
Yeah. For the time being, until they either wise up or devour each other.
That's a speed run.
Mm-hmm. Next up. So the New York Police Department started having this idea where they were going to buy up a bunch of robot dogs. And when I say robot dogs, I don't mean like those old, robot puppies that people used to have. I mean like the robot dogs that look like a giant metal brick with little black legs on it.
The Boston Dynamic ones.
Yeah. And then people were like, no, please, this is a stupid idea. Why the fuck are you doing this? And so they ended up, canceling the contract, which was going to be $94,000.
Yeah, because this stuff was coming out, like, they were taking it around, like, in November, December kind of time frame where people are still out of jobs and all that. Here comes walking around the NYPD. With a fucking nearly $100,000 fucking robotic dog that was supposedly going to combat crime. That just was a great sign of like why you need to defund these police departments.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they called this thing DigiDog.
Mm-hmm.
Just like getting close to like Digimon stuff here. But yeah, it's a 70-pound dog robot that's able to climb stairs. Survey hazardous areas was to help officers better identify dangers at crime scenes and keep officers safe, which they'll do whatever the fuck they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of canine units that are killed by police because they're stupid fucking idiots.
Yeah.
At least this one that would be harder to kill.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good that they actually listen to people complaining about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And next up, and this is another big story, over the 24 states plus the District of Columbia are coming together so that they can start a legal fight to block Sackler from their bid to get immunity in an opioid suit. Now, why is Sackler involved here? Sackler are the people who brought us OxyContin.
Yeah, Purdue Pharma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been dealing with those lawsuits from a number of states.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get sort of a like a bankruptcy style protection from future suits without actually going through like a bankruptcy court.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that. So yeah, this was going to be allow them to forfeit control of their bankrupt drug company and pay $4.2 billion from their private fortunes.
Mm-hmm.
That the judge was suggesting maybe more desirable of a deal for them to avoid years of costly litigation, which, like, that's kind of the point. They're an obscenely rich family that could, you know, lose $4.2 billion and not be that bad off.
Let's not also point out that Sackler not only caused the opioid epidemic with OxyContin, they actually made it worse by actively trying to fight every attempt that could be made to tie in the possible source of the epidemic being their product.
Yeah.
They did everything they could to possibly put all the onus on the addict and not the people who were producing it.
Yeah. But yeah, they had
go ahead. So yeah, they're fucking evil, and I hope they get ass blasted by the courts.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 24 state attorneys general that signed on for this, as well as the attorney general for D.C. Filed a new brief describing the proposed settlement as, quote, unprecedented, mm-hmm. unjust, and uncomfortable as a matter of law.
Yeah.
Saying the bankruptcy system should not be allowed to shield non-bankrupt billionaires. As the Massachusetts attorney general, Maura mm-hmm. Healey, it would set a terrible precedent if the Sacklers are allowed to use bankruptcy to escape the consequences of their actions. Mm-hmm. It'd be a roadmap for other powerful bad actors.
Mm.
And a number of attorneys representing local and state governments are also interested in filing briefs, raising legal and ethical concerns about the plan.
Yeah.
So a lot of people coming together to try to fight this,
mm-hmm.
this supposed settlement plan.
Yeah. Good. Hope they... Yeah, I want them to pay and pay dearly.
Yep.
Now we're getting into the less serious part of the show. There was this... So the Bidens went and visited Jimmy Carter and his wife recently. And they had a photograph of them taken at the Carter Center, and the resulting photo ended up having this really weird perspective. It made the Bidens look like three times larger than the Carters.
Yeah.
Now...
Partly that is because the Carters are very old at this point.
Yes, they are very old and slowly shrinking into their own behind, just like all old people are.
Yeah, but people are trying to figure out why this photo looks so weird.
People have suggested it's possibly because they were using a wide-angle lens.
Yeah, basically that it was sort of a smaller space,
mm-hmm.
And so fitting all four of these people into it, you kind of need a wider-angle lens, which distorts the people on the outer edges of it, which mm-hmm. are the Bidens.
Yeah.
Makes the people in the middle part, the Carters, look a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't also help that Jimmy Carter in the picture is like leaning back in his chair. Yeah. He is very much in that lounging kind of posture. So yeah, you kind of got this whole weird looking thing. But and it's sort of, they got some other photos where they show how these kinds of different photo tricks can create these weird scenes that look a lot weirder than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Peter Jackson didn't invent this stuff, you know. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around a while. And next up, oh yeah, so a while back, China sent out this rocket into space, and now it's coming back. Problem is, it's supposed to plunge to Earth this weekend, and nobody really knows where it's going to land.
Better yeah. not land on my face.
Weird thing is, China actually does have this history of having an issue with dealing with space junk falling on people. Yeah, they, you know, because ever since they started their space program, I mean, when you start a space program, there's going to be a, you know, a risk of this shit falling on people. And unfortunately, China's government, the way they are and how overprotective they are, they tend to overreact when people manage to, you know, record traces of it. But yeah, you can go on like YouTube and there are people like out in the middle of, like villages when, you know, the debris ends up falling.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing with this is it's basically going at 18,000 miles per hour around the Earth.
Yep.
In sort of a decaying orbit. Like, it was said it was like 0.3 miles per hour it's dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Or meters per second, whatever. So very slow, but it's going to happen sometime over this weekend.
Yeah.
And the sort of thing that's probably going to help us is that the Earth is 70% ocean.
Yeah, so like there's like a 3 to 4% chance. I mean, like a 3 out of 4 chance that it's just going to land in the Pacific
or the Atlantic. But yeah, but it's the fact that it's moving so fast, sort of vertically.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild. And this thing is so big.
Yeah,
that'll be one of the 10 largest objects ever. Re-enter Earth's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's unlikely that it will hit someone, hopefully.
Yeah.
But there's still statements from, you know, like the U.S. being like, yeah, we don't think it's going to be an issue, but we're still monitoring it.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, are you going to shoot it out of the sky? And like, yeah. You don't think we're going to have to?
Yeah. It's like one of those things like, yeah, you're probably not going to get hit by lightning anytime in your life, but you might want to just watch out just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a weird whole thing, but I imagine once it actually starts to make its descent,
we'll have a pretty good
idea. What's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wear a hat this weekend, just so you know.
Oh yeah, that'll help you.
Yeah, so much, right?
This 23-ton piece of space debris. Just make sure it's a nice little construction hat.
Hey, I mean,
Bob the Builder hat.
I mean, hey, State Farm insures against it, so. I'm not lying. Space debris is literally one of the things State Farm insures you against.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, meteorites are a thing that happens all the time.
Yeah. All right. Next up. Conan O'Brien. So if you remember, after Conan O'Brien basically got kicked off The Late Show because, you know, Jay Leno had his little pissing thing about ratings and shit, he went on and got his own show on TBS that was just called Conan. And that show had been going for like 10 years, and now he's hanging it up. On June 24th, that'll be his last show for TBS.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We kind of knew this was happening because he announced it a while ago.
Yeah.
That it was going to be ending sometime this year because they'll be moving over to an HBO Max weekly show, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess they're part of... Oh, no, okay. This is like part of the same thing, but I don't think TBS is under the HBO Max umbrella. But... Yeah, I guess they're still going to have new like Conan Without Borders specials for TBS that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he says here, in 1993, Johnny Carson gave me the best advice of my career. As soon as possible, get to a streaming platform. I'm thrilled that I get to continue doing whatever the hell it is I do on HBO Max, and I look forward to a free subscription.
Nice.
But yeah, you can also check out his podcast. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, where he talks with various people, both that he knows and doesn't know, I guess. He's been doing some episodes of late that they had like a weird Willy Wonka-style like golden ticket thing that was supposed to be distributed through the weird podcast ads.
Mm-hmm.
That's like those people get to come on as like guests. So he does like two of them per episode.
Mm.
To find out more about them and all that, so it's got a lot of weird stuff going on.
Oh, that's, yeah,
it seems like it's going to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, awesome.
Yeah,
let's see what else we got. Oh yeah, Tuca and Birdie. That was a great show that was on Netflix for the first season, and it was good. Unfortunately, it was basically like somebody basically called it like a more adult version of Rocco's Modern Life. But, you know, for whatever reason, Netflix didn't want to do it for another season. But now Adult Swim's going to do the second season, and it's going to show up June 13th.
Yeah, in the 11:30 p.m. slot.
Mm-hmm.
Which all the same actors and all that, so.
Yeah.
It's a great show if you haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. Go watch the first season on Netflix. Check it out. Yeah. Be excited for this weird, horny show.
Yeah. Hey, I liked it.
Yeah.
That's really funny. All right. And, oh, yeah, we also got a teaser for Stranger Things 4.
Yeah, it's like the second teaser I think they have.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the only description they have on the video is 002 of 004.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one was about a certain character that supposedly died at the end of the last season, and maybe they're not.
Mm.
But this one focuses on 11. I think it's called 11, Are You Listening?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of showing more of the facility she kind of got her powers in.
Mm-hmm.
But things are probably not what they seem with it.
Yeah. Well, it's Stranger Things, so obviously things are not what they seem.
Yeah, but I think the theories and the comments are more like that it seems like it's probably her in school, kind of having a flashback to her old life.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows, but I think that's supposed to be coming out later this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah.
And next up, the next Marvel TV series is going to be released around Loki. Its launch day has been moved up to June 9th with weekly releases every Wednesday.
Yeah, it was going to be on that Friday, but they ended up deciding that it'll be a Wednesday show.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved it up 2 days.
Mm.
Got a little video of Tom Hiddleston talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. And finally, this week, Marvel released an MCU trailer showing dates and teasers for the next phase of their movies, which I think is phase 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this has like a bunch of stuff from the recent movies, mm-hmm. as well as starts going into the next ones, as this I think is like also a we love theaters kind of thing, because mm-hmm. we get $1 billion every time we put one of these out.
Yep.
Kind of thing, but yeah, highlights, let's see the new ones, like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is February 17th, 2023. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is May 5th, 2023. Mm. Black Panther Wakanda Forever is July 8th, 2022. Mm. Let's see, there's Captain Marvel 2 is now titled The Marvels, which will be out November 11th, 2022. Yeah, I guess Kamala Khan is going to be in that.
Yep.
AKA Miss Marvel.
Mm-hmm. So it's
Teyonah Parris as Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
Who's in WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they also have a Disney Plus series, Miss Marvel series, that is also happening. I think that'll be happening before the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be late this year sometime.
Mm.
So he also included, you know, Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. It's out September 3rd. Black Widow, it's July 9th. Spider-Man Far From Home, I think, is next year.
Mm-hmm.
And The Eternals also showed up. That is November 5th this year.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of good, interesting stuff happening there.
Mm. Yeah.
Excited to see some more of these movies.
Yeah. See if they can keep the magic going.
Yeah.
All right. I do believe that is, yeah, we got a show, folks. We have got an entire show. And somehow I managed to keep up my energy and not pass out in the middle of it. So, hooray for me. All right, so with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or really just any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. Because eventually we will show up there as soon as we are aware of its existence. So, yeah, that has been our show for the night. I am your host of the most, Brandon Perkins. For Teresa Sammons and Chris Elogi, I want to tell you, Good night, sleep tight, and for the love of God, please get your vaccine shot. Stop being a fucking baby.